but that of the Thracians was equally, if not more, beautiful. When we had finished our prayers and viewed the spectacle, we turned in the direction of the city, and at that instant Polymarchus, the son of Cephalus, chanced to catch sight of us from a distance as we were starting on our way home, and told his servant to run and bid us wait for him. The servant took hold of me by the cloak behind and said, "Polymarchus desires you to wait." I turned round and asked him where his master was. "There he is," said the youth, "coming after you, if you will only wait." "Certainly we will," said Glaucon, and in a few minutes Polymarchus appeared, and with him Adimantus, Glaucon's brother, Nicaratus, the son of Nicias, and several others who had been at the procession. Polymarchus said to me, "I perceive, Socrates, that you and your companion are already on your way to the city."
"You are not far wrong," I said.
"But do you see," he rejoined, "how many we are?"
"Of course."
"And are you stronger than all these? For if not, you will have to remain where you are."
"May there not be the alternative," I said, "that we may persuade you to let us go?"
"But can you persuade us if we refuse to listen to you?" he said.
"Certainly not," replied Glaucon.
"Then we are not going to listen. Of that you may be assured."
Adimantus added, "Has no one told you of the torch race on horseback in honour of the goddess, which will take place in the evening?"
"With horses," I replied.
"That is a novelty. Will horsemen carry torches and pass them one to another during the race?"
"Yes," said Polymarchus. "And not only so, but a festival will be celebrated at night, which you certainly ought to see. Let us rise soon after supper and see this festival. There will be a gathering of young men, and we will have a good talk. Stay, then, and do not be perverse."
Glaucon said, "I suppose, since you insist, that we must."
"Very good," I replied.
Accordingly, we went with Polymarchus to his house, and there we found his brothers Lysias and Euthydemus, and with them Thrasymachus, the Chalcedonian, Charmantides, the Paeanian, and Clitophon, the son of Aristonomus. There, too, was Cephalus, the father of Polymarchus, whom I had not seen for a long time, and I thought him very much aged. He was seated on a cushioned chair, and had a garland on his head, for he had been sacrificing in the court, and there were some other chairs in the room arranged in a semicircle, upon which we sat down by him. He saluted me eagerly, and then he said,
"You don't come to see me, Socrates, as often as you ought. If I was still able to go and see you, I would not ask you to come to me. But at my age I can hardly get to the city, and therefore you should come oftener to the Piraeus. For let me tell you, that the more the pleasures of the body fade away, the greater to me is the pleasure and charm of conversation. Do not then deny my request, but make our house your resort, and keep company with these young men. We are old friends, and you will be quite at home with us."
I replied, "There is nothing which for my part I like better, Cephalus, than conversing with aged men, for I regard them as travellers who have gone a journey which I too may have to go, and of whom I ought to inquire whether the way is smooth and easy or rugged and difficult. And this is a question which I should like to ask of you who have arrived at that time which the poets call the threshold of old age. Is life harder towards the end, or what report do you give of it?"
"I will tell you, Socrates," he said, "what my own feeling is. Men of my age flock together. We are birds of a feather, as the old proverb says. And at our meetings the tale of my acquaintance commonly is, 'I cannot eat, I cannot drink, the pleasures of youth and love are fled away. There was a good time once, but now that is gone, and life is no longer life.' Some complain of the slights which are put upon them by relations, and they will tell you sadly of how many evils their old age is the cause. But to me, Socrates, these complainers seem to blame that which is not really in fault. For if old age were the cause, I too, being old..."